President Biden said something here in Tokyo that makes it seem as though he would put the U.S. military head-to-head against the Chinese military if he had to.
You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Would you come my
way? President Biden answered yes when asked if the U.S. could get involved militarily to defend Taiwan against the Chinese invasion. The decades-old Taiwan Relations Act does not require U.S. military intervention to defend Taiwan, but rather ensures weapons and other resources for Taiwan to defend itself. China was quick to condemn President Biden's remarks. Under a one-China policy, the U.S. recognizes Beijing as the sole government in China and does not have a diplomatic presence in Taiwan. A White House official says the president's comment did not reflect the policy shift.
Oh, wait, where am I at? Oh, Trevor, are you here? Oh, wait, I was just hanging out in the ceiling, and I dropped in. Oh, wait, I'm in Trevor's studios. Holy smokes, I'm at Power Talk. Hey, this is Tal Cloud. I guess I'm filling in for Trevor today. I was just hanging out in the ceiling, you know, up there for 2 days, hanging out. No one knew I was here. I was just waiting for Trevor not to be here, and I guess I figured that part out. I'm here today. So guess what? You get Tal Cloud today for Trevor Carey here on Power Talk, and we've got a lot to talk about. I had to use that ceiling fall because if anybody's been reading the news, listening to anything over the last 3 or 4 days, starting last Thursday, there's a lot to be talked about in regards to the Fresno PD and Sheriff's Department's actions as it relates to the criminals that were hiding out in Save Mart, or the one criminal anyways that was hiding out in Save Mart ceiling for 2 days. While people were shopping for a large portion of at least one day, a criminal was up there almost 48 hours hanging out in the ceiling after what happened started at River Park. So if you haven't heard this story, last Thursday, I believe it was, some gangbanger kids were basically robbed some property down in Carruthers. They fit the description, an off-duty police officer, either sheriff or PD, not sure, happened to see these hoodlums and their car in the parking lot there by Macy's at River Park. And as he called in backup from, I guess it was Sheriff's Department, Sheriff showed up in that area to arrest them, and two of the suspects fled while one of them got in a car and was smashing cars. The off-duty officer shot at the people, the person getting away, and this person took off and went down the road toward First and Nice, I believe it is, at the Save Mart Center there, and then ran into Save Mart. The Sheriff's Department then was in pursuit, and they went in to start to lock down the entire area. And lo and behold, Fresno PD said, hey, this is our area. This is our jurisdiction. So they called off the sheriff's department so they can bring in their top-notch canines and all their people to search the Save Mart Center or Save Mart grocery store. Well, I understand that. We understand that. You have jurisdictional issues. So the sheriff's initiated the pursuit. During this pursuit, they backed off because they were concerned about a wreck, which is what happened there at First and Nice. But the Fresno PD helicopter was overhead, so they saw the person run into the Save Mart store. Helicopter remained overhead to verify what was going on, and sheriff's deputies arrived, and then shortly thereafter, PD arrived, Fresno PD. The interesting thing is that then, you know, Fresno PD, they wanted to take control, which would be normal. I'm going to bring this up in a minute, but don't forget we have a PD versus sheriff political race coming up here in about 15 days, where a member of the Fresno PD is running against a member of the Fresno Sheriff's Department. So I'm sure there's a little bit of anxiousness as it relates to who is going to control this scene, and rightfully it was under PD's jurisdiction. Maybe the PD should have just let the sheriffs handle it, because I can tell you it's embarrassing for the city of Fresno and for everyone who lives in that neighborhood to deal with what unfolded later over the next 48 hours. So now we're in a situation where the store is everybody's, you know, taken out of the store, it's emptied, it's cleared. Fresno PD says, hey, we're gonna go search the store. They have a drone. They have dogs. I don't know what the dogs were good at, but they weren't good at finding people, that's for sure. And they cleared the store. So after a 20-hour standoff, they gave the store back to Save Mart to open back up. But guess what? They never found the suspect. And you know, you'd think you'd be able to get a lot of this out of the Fresno Bee, but their printing is so delayed that, you know, you don't see much. On Sunday, they're still talking about, you know, they've identified the gentleman from the Sheriff's Department people that they were researching back at Macy's. They figured out who the person was who was on the lam, so to speak. But even as of Sunday, it wasn't even published until this morning. On Monday, the Fresno Bee stated it. Of course, all your Twitter feeds and Facebook and Channel 30, they all had it right away. Oh, that's right, because a producer at Channel 30 was in the store happening to shop when they were there, and the producer from Channel 30 was the one that saw the person fall out of the ceiling. And so after almost 48 hours, the person who has been hanging out on the ceiling of the Save Mart grocery store, he fell out of the ceiling and dropped down, picked up an apple, had a bite apple, and off he went. And I'm picking a lot of this up from my sources within law enforcement have kind of called and talked to me about what's going on. And there's been a lot of discussion basically on both the Sheriff's Department and the PD. And the Sheriff's Department and PD on basically what's happening. So anyways, that's what I just wanted to start the show off. I'm Tal Cloud. I'm filling in today for the Trevor Carey Show here on Power Talk. And I just thought I'd bring a little interesting sidebar, because I had to have some fun. When I heard this guy fell out of the ceiling and after being there for 48 hours, I thought, let's have some fun. So if I'm gonna fill in for Trevor today, I just popped into his office. I've been wanting to do this for a while. It's been a while since I've been on. So thanks, Trevor, for having me on today and iHeart. It's always a pleasure to be here. There's so many great things we get to talk about. And if you want to be part of the conversation, feel free to join in here at Power Talk at 559-230-4242. Again, that's 559-230-4242. Because I want to talk about what happened at Save Mart for a bit here. And I want you to, you know, if anybody's in law enforcement and you have thoughts on this, or if I'm just, you know, I'm not in law enforcement, I don't know what I'm talking about, other than to say that if my family member was in Save Mart and had shopped in Save Mart, and this person theoretically could have had a gun, a machine gun, who knows what, in the ceiling for 2 days while there was customers in there for at least one day, what in the world was the Fresno PD thinking? They acted as if when they caught the guy that they did such a great job, because I pulled out some of the comments in the paper here, and they said, you know, we had marked units in the area. Well, marked units in the area is saying there's a marked unit around the Power Talk studios right now. The marked units that's going down Freeway 41 right next to us. What does that mean? You know, Paco Baldorano was all excited about in custody. Why wasn't this person put in custody the first time? I mean, it's shocking to me that they just gave up on it. The Fresno PD gave up looking for this suspect. They have dogs that should be able to smell a person. You're telling me that this man jumped 10 feet, 20 feet into the ceiling just on his own? I don't think so. I think this person had to walk somewhere. He had to climb the stairs. He had to climb into the attic. He wasn't Superman that magically propelled himself into the ceiling and then replaced the ceiling tiles. He fell out of the ceiling tiles, but he got in there somewhere else, most likely through an attic, through somewhere that a dog should have been able to smell. And the officers in Fresno PD should have thought of that. And that's what I think is so crazy about this, is why in the world could the Fresno PD not do it? And was there some, you know, jurisdictional battle in this deal? I mean, I know for a fact that John Zanoni, who's running for sheriff, was involved in the Macy's side of this, in the sense that he was overseeing what happened at Macy's and was verifying the subjects and finding out, you know, who these people were and where they came from and making sure they are part of the crime where guns were stolen and the two people that they did catch. Now, I don't know what Salazar was involved in, but he's certainly running for sheriff. And, you know, is he in charge of the SWAT unit? Where did the training go bad? I don't know. But I just think the fact that so much happened in this little case, does it say the training's lacking at Fresno PD? Is it just unluckiness? Or what is it? And that's what concerns me is when I think about this, I just keep coming back to the fact that this guy just popped out of the ceiling. Someone was living in a Save Mart for 48 hours. Where were they going to the bathroom? What were they doing up there? I'm sure he just didn't pop in and out from the ceiling. This person was living in a Save Mart center. Save Mart, gosh, stop saying that, Tal. I want to go to a concert or something or a basketball game. Living at the Save Mart grocery store for 24 hours, and then for 24 hours, he was evading basically the police. So almost for 48 hours, he was in this building. I don't know. That's just my thought. I'm Tal Cloud. I'm in for Trevor Carey today on Power Talk. And you're welcome to join in as well at 230-4242. We've got a great show today. I've got a number of guests that I've got coming in that we'll talk about a lot of different subjects besides the Save Mart issue. We're going to talk election. You know, with me, I'm always talking election. I'm going to bring you some different people that you may have not heard or heard as much. I've got Nicole Parra coming on. She's running for state Senate in a seat that's going to probably go to a Democrat in November. But here in the primary, you've got an opportunity to pick which Democrat you want. Depending on which Democrat you want will determine if a Republican can be competitive or not down in the fall. And then at the 5 o'clock hour, we're gonna do something unusual here. We're gonna have two guests, both running for Congress. One from District 5 that goes from basically city of Fresno all the way to Kirkwood Ski Resort, touches Modesto, Kings Canyon, and a whole bunch of the mountain communities of California. Nathan Magzig. And then later in the hour, the opposite side of that, which basically starts in Kingsburg and goes all the way up the valley on CD 13, all the way up to Tracy with a chunk of Modesto as well. And that's Adam Gray, the Democrat, that's running against Phil Orbio. So there's a lot of stuff, that we're going to have talking about during this time. But I'm just curious what your thoughts are on what happened at Save Mart. I mean, I don't understand in today's world where you can, there's heat, there's all the different ways to determine where someone is, sound, the technology that PD has, all the millions they've spent on technology, that they have a small building that they can't cover and find out where they're at. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about this and how it plays out in the sheriff's race, and does it matter who you vote for in Zanoni or Salazar? I'm Tal Cloud in Power Talk today for Trevor Carey, and I look forward to joining you after the break.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, it's Tal Cloud in today for Trevor Carey on Power Talk. I'm filling in this fine chair after falling out of the ceiling, and we're talking about what happened at Save Mart. If you want to be part of the show, I'd love to hear from you at 559-230-4242. I just want to continue, you know, on where I was talking in the first segment there, did any of this incompetence in this particular situation at Save Mart, is that a testament to the poor training at the Fresno PD? What caused it? With the sheriff's department, do you think they would have walked away from a scene knowing that obviously they didn't check everywhere? I mean, if there's a human being in a store, and look at Save Mart stores are big, but we're not talking 1 million square feet. We're talking 100,000 square feet. We're not talking, it's four walls. Now, yes, they could have got out the back door,
Did anybody look in the ceiling? To me, I just think it's such a travesty that this person who could have had a gun, at some point we think did have a gun, stole a gun, we know that for a fact, that was up there in the ceiling and, you know, was doing whatever they were doing for 24, 48 hours before they fell out, got their apple, and tried to run away when the ABC producer found them. My question is, really, there had to be some mistakes made here, and I wonder what the after action report will look like when you go back to say, okay, what do we do wrong? What do we do right? Obviously, when it comes to PD and sheriff, they work very well together. They're on scene together often, and there's certainly jurisdictional issues that are involved. And Fresno PD, rightfully so, should have taken over that scene. But I'm just concerned that. The police work was so shoddy. What does that say about Fresno PD's training? I don't know. I've talked to some Fresno PD folks, and they're all quietly very embarrassed about this. They're concerned that this happened, and they know this is a black eye on their organization. And I just come back to say, you know, what does that mean? What does that mean for the sheriff's race coming up here soon? How does that play out to the sheriff's race? So. That's what does it matter? I mean, does it even play at all? Is if the sheriffs when the election is up, because this is going to be a situation where come June 7th, we're going to know who is going to win no matter what. It's either going to be Salazar or Zanoni from the sheriff's department, Salazar from the city of Fresno. And they have two different approaches to their job. But the question is, how did those approaches and how would those approaches affect what happened here at Save Mart? And that's what I'm very curious about, and what other people have to say on that one. So anyways, I just wanted to bring that up, and if anybody wants to talk about it, we're happy to talk about it at 559-230-4242. But I also want to talk a little bit about the sheriff's race coming up. It's interesting that, you know, Margaret Mims got behind Zanoni. It was a very late announcement as to when that race was going to happen, or I'm sorry, when Margaret Mims was going to get out of the race and retire. So there wasn't a lot of time for a lot of people to run for that seat. And once that call was made, it was kind of a mad dash, and only two people, got engaged on it. And so from that standpoint, we've got a hot race. But listen, Barbara's calling, so let's see what Barbara has to say. Barbara, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you very well. I'm kind of a rookie at this board, so bear with me. But what do you have to say, Barbara? Let me know your thoughts on what we're talking about.
Okay, I will. I do not agree with your sideline assessment of our local first responders, police, or sheriff. I think we have enough people bad-mouthing law enforcement of any kind, and we don't need to tune in to the Trevor Carey show and hear you just slice and dice everything they did.
But let me ask you
this. You don't know.
Barbara, let me ask you this. If you were in that store and your daughter, son, family member was there, and that person came down the roof and happened to land in your bag and your basket, what would you think of that?
That didn't happen.
Well, it came real close to that happening. I mean, it happened in daylight when people were in the store, and there was somebody. There were people shopping there that day, so they just didn't land in the basket.
That's true. Well, no, he didn't. He got an apple and walked out. But the thing is, the police did everything they could within the time frame they had, and until you were in their shoes, you don't know what you don't know.
I
think that
I agree with you.
We need. Yeah, and until you go through officer training, until you are actually there on scene, you know, it's easy to sit on the sidelines and throw out a bunch of judgment. But I think this whole country has had enough judgment of our law enforcement.
Okay.
Find something good to say.
Well, no, I, Barbara, I appreciate your call, and thank you very much. But the reality is, I'm talking about what happened. How did this happen? Where was the fault in training? There is no way that you can tell me that this was good training. There was mistakes that were made. I'm not bashing law enforcement, but I am bashing the training that allowed this to happen. So thank you very much, Barbara. I appreciate it. And that's what I think. I think that it's like there's got to be when mistakes happen in situations like this, there really needs to be an investigation as to what caused it, how did it happen, why did it happen. And that's what I think, I hope somebody will do here. So we really need to be, you know, looking at this. And you know, I am definitely not a police officer or any type, but there was a problem and there was some lack of leadership, and I don't know what caused it, but this should never happen. We've got a lot to talk about. There's a CBS News poll out there that basically says that 75% of the people are very unhappy with where America's at today. What does that mean for the midterms? We'll talk about that and more when I come back after the hour. It's Tal Cloud in for Trevor Carey on Power Talk.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, it's Tal Cloud in today on Power Talk, filling in for Trevor Carey. I'm your host for the next 2.5 hours. We got some great guests coming on. I have Nicole Parra coming on, running for State Senate here at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. And then on the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we have Nathan Magsig running for United States Congress in Congressional District 5. And then after that, Adam Gray running in Congressional District 13. Get those words out of my mouth, trying to say them properly. And if you want to be part of the show, love to hear from you at 559-230-4242. In the last segment, we were talking about what's going on with the Save Mart situation and the Zanoni and a little bit of Salazar. But I wanted to, if anybody wants to talk about it, I'm happy to talk about it. But right now, I wanted to kind of bring up a interesting poll that I found when I was researching for this show. And whenever you're going to sit in and be a guest host like myself, and you can certainly tell I'm no Trevor Carey, you have to find things to talk about. And I found this CBS News poll from the other day. It's just about 2 or 3 days old, and it had some very interesting numbers in it about the direction of what people think about this country, as well as what people think about Democrats and Republicans. So I highlighted some of the issues I figured we could talk about that are kind of interesting. And right now, one of the questions, the number one question is, generally speaking, do you feel things in America today are going very well, somewhat badly, or very badly? You would be shocked. Well, maybe you wouldn't. Right now, the country thinks that 74% of this country thinks we're going very, very badly or somewhat badly. So we're basically being the badlies. And that's very unfortunate that I don't think when the mean tweeter was there, we had something different, very different number than that. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But hey, the phones have lit up, and I'm going to bring on someone here in just a few minutes to light up, to continue talking a bit about Save Mart. Yeah, so I think we'll talk. So I think we'll bring on Sharon from Clovis and talk about Save Mart. So let's see what. Hi, it's Tal Cloud on Power Talk in for Trevor today. What say you, Sharon?
Well, I understand the lady's concern that about, you know, the bashing any of the police during this time in our country. But I was on the couch when that was announced that they were leaving the store and reopening it, and I told my husband, he's in the attic. He had to have gotten into the ducting or something. He's in that. And I'm just a normal person sitting at home. So there was definitely something fell through the cracks. No pun intended, but truly that was just an obvious thing. And I believe that way back in the day when Dennis Phelps, the sheriff, was murdered by a Volpe, who was a bad guy, the Fresno PD and the sheriff's department were not sharing information. And that's how he ended up passing. On Shepherd and 168 a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And I feel like we're kind of in a time. Yeah, I feel like we're in kind of a time again where there's so much, maybe there's just some competition still internally between the two, and they're not being more cognizant of what's really happening and taking place, and then their egos get in the way, and then we end up with a situation like this. But it was very obvious to a lay person like myself watching this and thinking, he's in the attic.
You're right, Sharon. And one of the interesting things, and not to bash police, but you've got to look at the mistakes. And there's certainly a mistake that happened here. And what caused that mistake? And who is responsible for not checking the attic, for not saying what other access points are there? Because Right. You and me are thinking the same way, and I'm thinking if my daughter was in there shopping, and this guy that we don't know what kind of gun he has, we don't know what kind of drugs he has, we don't know all the different things about this person, knives, whatever it may be, state of mind.
Take a hostage. Yeah,
yes, exactly. But when they say, when we got Paco Valderrama saying he's in custody, yay, yay, although SWAT was pulled back, we went in with Plan B, leaving undercover officers' units in the area. To me, that's not police work. That's they gave up on the situation, and that's where I think there's a problem here. And as for your comment about people not working together, I have friends in both departments. I've done work with both of them on political issues and other things over, you know, my 35 years in politics here in Fresno. And what I'm hearing a lot is there is a little friction, and they're not working together, much like the county of Fresno and the city of Fresno. I mean, think about it. You have the city of Fresno, you have the four down there that control it, and I think some of that's bleeding over into the law enforcement side. So
I appreciate you. I don't want to see a reoccurrence of that.
Yeah, and I appreciate your phone call, Sharon, and you have a great day, and be careful when you're out there shopping. But you know, Sharon brings up a good point. I mean, it's just regular old person like you or me. We had that idea, and that's what I thought too. Is that the person just didn't disappear? If they truly had the property surrounded, which they did, between sheriff and PD before sheriffs were called off. There was something, you know, something more was going on there. So if you want to, you know, add your 2 cents, feel free to join us at 559-230-4242. I'm Tal Cloud, filling in for Trevor Carey today. But I wanted to go back to this CBS poll, because I think it's kind of interesting that I don't, I wish I had some numbers from the same YouGov poll from you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, when I think it was pretty much the opposite. We felt we were going the right direction. Gas prices were low. We had the, you know, inflation was not on the horizon. Interest rates were low. So many things have changed. And then, you know, another question they ask here is, how would you rate the condition of the economy? And we know this was in the 70s 2 years ago when President Trump was there. Now we're talking 69% are on the badly side, the fairly bad or very bad side, with only 26% of the people on the goodly side, the fairly good or good. So those numbers are you know, pretty bad, and I think that portends a very rough time for the Democrats, for what happens with them both here in June, but definitely when the rubber hits the road in November. Another one that was kind of interesting to me is how strongly do you approve the way that Joe Biden is handling his job as president? You know, when he was elected, everybody said, "Oh, we just need a president that's nice and will be, you know, somebody will bring people together and won't say mean tweets and all those good things." But even the crowd that wanted that, there's 47% of the people that disapprove of the job that he's doing, with only 43% approving. His numbers were in the high 60s when he got on board. But then when you look at some specific issues, like the economy, 64% disapprove of his job. On inflation, 70% disapprove of his job. He's doing better on Ukraine at 47% approval, with Ukraine 53% opposed. You know, and race relations, he's 56% disapprove of the way he's handling race relations. I mean, this man is just not hitting any of the metrics that you're going to need to hit to be a successful president. Another one that's, you know, how would you describe or not describe Joe Biden as president? And when it comes to unifying, 62% said that he's not a unifier. But I thought he was elected to be the great unifier. Effective, 62%, again, not effective. But 57% think he's distracted. That's pretty interesting. Another one that I thought was interesting was, when events come up, how do you feel Joe Biden addresses things? Slow to react is 65%. And I think what happened under President Trump is he was probably too quick to react, or certainly too quick to have his, you know, spout off on his whatever he's talking about or tweeting about. But the fact that Joe Biden is slow to react, that's been going on and on and on. And that's just slow Joe, sleepy Joe. Slow to react at 65% is a big problem. In the next few months, are you optimistic or pessimistic? And the interesting one is that 77% of the people in this country, you know, over three out of four people think things are going to get worse before they get better. At the same time, you know, people are very uneasy about the direction of the country at 63%. So these numbers are interesting. Let me go to the, before we go to break, let me go to some issues as terms of Democrats and Republicans. Because this tells me the Republicans still have a lot of work to do. Just because the Democrats have fallen down doesn't mean the Republicans are standing up. The Republicans have to show and prove why they deserve to be in leadership. They need to show it with actions, not words. They need to show it by being inclusive, not exclusive. When it comes to the words of the Democratic Party, extreme, 49% of the people think the Democratic Party is extreme. Weak, 51% of the people think they're weak. But when it comes to Republicans, the other side of the equation, 54% of the people think Republicans are extreme, but only 41% think Republicans are weak. To me, what's interesting there is extreme is a big word in the sense of it's easy to say, but it's hard to define. What is extreme to you may not be extreme to me. And I think that's where you see the differences with the two parties on Democrats and Republicans. So there's a lot going on right there in terms of, you know, what's going to happen. But one of the positive for the Republicans are, you know, if a Republican was nominated for Congress, the top issue the Republicans have going is the country knows Republicans will deal with inflation better with Democrats. 81% think that they can deal with it, that they're much more focused on inflation than the Democrats. The issues that don't matter, I think, is discussion the 2020 election, and I think a lot of Democrats want to make that an issue on the 2020 election. And the reality, that's only at 32%. Showing loyalty to Donald Trump is only at 31%. They think that should be a focus, whereas 69 say no. So you're definitely seeing some of these issues that Democrats think they could you know, plant their flag on, like Donald Trump, are falling apart. On the Democratic side, they think taxing the wealthy is their number one focus at 61%. And dealing with inflation, too, I'm sorry, is 83%. But you know, everybody thinks dealing with inflation. But I don't think anybody on the Democratic side thinks that Democrats will deal with inflation very well. So we've still got a lot to talk about. I'm going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, whatever you want to talk about. Or there's a bit other measure coming up called Measure Z, another political tax that has shown some great strides. But do we need a world-class gold-plated zoo? We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Tal Cloud, in for Trevor Carey on the Power Talk.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
All right, it's Tal Cloud. I'm filling in today for Trevor Carey here on Power Talk. Exciting day, lots to talk about. We got a lot of great things to talk about in the next hour. We were talking about what happened at Save Mart grocery store. And we're lucky enough to have Chief Balderrama on. So, Chief, welcome to Power Talk. Let me know your thoughts. I'm sure I definitely don't have all the answers, but I'm very concerned about a guy falling through a roof that your department cleared.
Yeah, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. So, yeah, this weekend wasn't exactly textbook, but I can tell you a couple of things that maybe you don't know. Number one, I mean, we all know how this thing played out. This started out as a sheriff's office found an individual who was wanted. They got into an officer ball shooting there at Macy's. He got in a vehicle, didn't wanted to get away, did not want to, you know, be arrested, so he took off on them. And at some point, they tried to box him in. He wound up across the street from the Save Mart there, and there was a collision. So the guy gets out, he bolts across the street, goes into the Save Mart Center. So when that happens, my officers are on their way, and the number one priority is to protect the public, not so much apprehending this guy, because we don't know if he's going to take hostages. At the time, we don't know if he was armed or not, because it was just too soon. So we were able to get a perimeter around the building. So we were fairly confident he didn't get away. You know, we cleared the building, all the customers, employees were out. So then, you know, time was on our side. You know, there was no reason to rush this thing. We always try to de-escalate the matter and not escalate it. And the last thing we want to do is get into a officer-involved shooting, which we just had two in the last 12 hours. So we waited it out, and we did have our SWAT team out there. They were there for about 14 hours. This is on Thursday night going into Friday morning. So what they do in a situation like this is they try to search every angle, but at the same time, you don't want to be seen by the suspect. You don't want to stick your head through the ceiling tiles and get hit over the head or get shot. So it's not as easy as it seems. We do have some technology that helps us, such as a pole cam. So we're able to, we have a camera that's on a pole that we're able to pop through the ceiling tiles and look around. But guess what? You can't see through the entire ceiling. It's sectioned off and you cannot see completely across. So the only way to completely check that 100% is by tearing up the ceiling. And that's something that we just weren't willing to do. I mean, at the end of the day, this guy's wanted for burglary and for attempting to elude. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to cause $200,000 in damage to a store. Not only that, I mean, once we can't put a canine up there. My canine will crash right through there. He'll fall through. And then now I got an injured dog because I'm not going to put a canine or an officer in that situation. So we try to use whatever tactics we can to apprehend the suspect. But the number one priority, keeping our officers safe. So they were out there all night, and obviously our SWAT team, they're human beings. They get tired as well, and they were tired from not sleeping the entire night, so we called the sheriff's office. This was their deal, obviously. So they sent out there so they can continue to look. And this was on Friday afternoon. At that point, we made the decision, look, this guy's wanted for burglary. We don't know that he's armed. At that point, we got more information that he wasn't armed, and he doesn't have a violent history. We just knew he wanted to get away.
So you did know that he wasn't armed at that point, but in the beginning, you did not know.
Nobody, exactly. In the beginning, we didn't know. We knew he was just involved in an officer-involved shooting.
Now, said the sheriffs came back. When did the sheriffs come back? I thought you took the PD took this. Once you took it over the Save Mart grocery store, weren't you in charge of it all the way at that point? Why would the sheriffs come back to that position, take over?
Let me explain to you. Okay, we had an officer-involved shooting in another part of the city that we're working. And then we had the officer-involved shooting at Macy's. Those are two crime scenes going on. Okay, once this guy is in our city, that's our baby, right? But this is their suspect that we're trying to apprehend. So at that point in time, the next day, after 14 hours, then I have to arrest my SWAT team. I can't leave them out there indefinitely. It's not
right.
Practical, you know, that
no,
they're,
I get
they're
that.
Tired,
yeah, I
they're
get
hungry.
That.
So I spoke to the sheriff, and we agreed, hey, this is our guy that you guys are looking for. We're going to come and take over. And we actually had a plan for us to, if they didn't find him, for us to take over the scene again and just keep alternating SWAT teams so we can continuously look for this guy until we found him. Well, that's
does that mean? I don't know. I'm just going to be kind of a smart aleck here. But, I mean, you don't have enough resources. Is this a reason to maybe, I mean, that working together, you kind of work as one. So why do we? It just seems like you. It's unfortunate that you don't have the resources to do it. I guess you only have one SWAT team on PD, or you had multiple situations with multiple SWAT teams within the PD at the same time.
We had our entire unit out there, which is about over 30 members with supervisors. It gets to about 50 bodies out there, but they have a battery life, right? I mean, just like I can go about 15 hours and I get tired too. They get tired as well. These incidents where you go overnight, that's not very typical. A typical SWAT call out is about 4 to 6 hours and it's over. You know, because we're searching houses, we're not searching large buildings like a grocery store. So it's pretty unorthodox. And, you know, people, I've seen the comments, say, why don't you think to look in the ceiling? Well, of course we looked in the ceiling. We popped in cameras. We removed ceiling tiles. Of course we did. But you can't see all the way through.
I get that. I mean, I just think that what's going to be the lessons learned from this situation? Where do you think you could have done better?
Well, I'll talk about that. But let me talk about this. We got the guy. Nobody got hurt. We were able to relieve our teams and start spending tens of thousands of dollars in overtime, right? And at the end of the day, the plan worked. At that point, we thought, look, this guy's a burglar. He wants to escape. Let's back off.
Yeah, we got about 20 seconds left, Chief. So give us your final.
I'm very proud of both teams, the Fresno Sheriff's County, the Fresno Sheriff's Office, and the Fresno PD. We got the job done, and you know, all the Monday morning quarterbacks, well, they can keep on criticizing because we got it done.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. And I am a Monday morning quarterback, but I'm just trying to learn a little bit here and see what goes on. It's a scary situation. I think we, you know, interesting, maybe a little turf war. Maybe do we need just one agency? Do we need a sheriff's and a PD? So, I don't know, maybe that's a question to be asked. I know that was there a while back, but it sounds like there wasn't enough people there.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just, it's an interesting conversation. I appreciate the chief calling in to give me his 2 cents. I'm Tal Cloud, filling in for Trevor Carey today on Power Talk. We've got a great show for you, so we'll be back shortly.